Welcome back to the second hour of this Shlomo Carlbach special. You are aware from the first hour, Carlbach died on October 20th, 1994, 21 years ago. The burial took place on Sunday, October 23rd, and on that day I did a two-hour special on the program that I had at Seton Hall University. It included many interviews and a lot of his recordings. This second hour will continue with some recordings and interviews, and then I'll be playing certain selections appropriate for that week of Carlbach's death. There was a terrorist attack on Dizengoff Square where 20 Jews were killed and approximately 50 were injured. And the recordings that I'll be playing are in response to that. And then we'll finish the this second hour with some more of Carlbach's wonderful music. The first interview will be with a good friend of mine, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman. At the time, he was the rabbi at the Young Israel of Passaic, and every time I go to Jerusalem, I always enjoy meeting the rabbi and schmoozing with him. And you'll hear him with the first interview. So let's go back to my show of 21 years ago in October of 1994. With me on the phone, an old friend, Chaim Wasserman, who is the rabbi of the Young Israel of Passaic. Good evening, Rabbi.
Good evening, Charlie. How are you?
Okay. I understand you were at the funeral this morning of Reb Shlomo.
Yeah, very much so. And the essence of the funeral, for anyone who wasn't there, is its uniqueness. Did you ever attend a singing funeral?
No.
No. Well, every one of his tunes was sung. Once one of those who delivered the eulogy would quote from that particular area of Tehillim or wherever he would use his lyrics. It is an unusual feeling, just as unique as this man was. He's probably the most prolific songwriter in Jewish music ever. So too was this uniqueness of his funeral, where they sang him to his final resting place. Which I suppose, if someone could choose the way one wants a funeral, this would be the way Shlomo Carlbach would have wanted it.
You knew Reb Shlomo?
I knew him for close to 40 years. In the very beginning, I met him when he started to sing his songs. And people wanted it played at weddings. There was a dilemma. Only the New York scene was able to play these weddings. We had those bands who played it. What do you do if you're getting married in Little Rock, Arkansas, or in Florida? And one of the earliest encounters I had with him is he would sing, and I would show him that I'd write out the music and send it to various youngsters all over the country who would give it to bands playing his music, and we struck up a friendship that way that lasted up until 2 weeks ago today, when he and I did a dialogue in Passaic Clifton, and he was a vintage Shlomo, but nonetheless tired as he was, he kept driving till the very last moment. There was no such thing as stopping by him.
He certainly had a full schedule. He didn't stop traveling throughout the world.
Yeah. There's only one thing that really shocked me, although I knew it, but the shock at the funeral. One of his good friends, Professor Zalman Schachter of the University of Manitoba, who also started the outreach with Shlomo Carlbach 35, 40 years ago, and was moved by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, indicated to the thousands who were there, I clearly saw that it was thousands, that he gave everything away, not only of himself, not only of his neshama, but all of his worldly possessions. This man has a family now, a wife and two children, who have to be remembered and have to be supported. Children who need an education to finish, to finish polishing school.
Wow.
And that's a tough one. Here you have a man that has touched hundreds of thousands of people, but touched with the gift of life. And it's time, I suppose, and we were reminded by Professor Zalman Schachter over there, that it's time to give back what the man has invested in all of society.
Well, that's fascinating. It's sad, but something you might expect from him.
Yeah, I mean, sad by American standards, but clearly within the realm of his personality, and wouldn't have had it any other way.
Do you have any other anecdotes of your experiences with him?
Well, one of my first experiences also with him left a scar on one of my fingers of the left hand because of a broken key on a piano. And it was probably, and we kept on playing, I at the piano, he at the guitar, and I split my finger on this broken key, and was probably one of the few pianos ever that had red, white, and black keys. And I had mentioned at Shabbos and Shul that I bear Shlomo Kalbach with me on my body all throughout life. Since then,
interesting.
I've had this problem.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi Wasserman, thank you for sharing these reminiscences with us.
Charlie, you got to do it. The man earned it, and I hope we hear. Oh, I must, before I let you go.
Yes.
Tell you one other thing. The same Zalman Schachter lapsed into a Yiddish moment, and he spoke to Shlomo. He said, Shlomo, before you go into Gan Eden, don't let them fool you into a concert before you demand from God that he give to Bnei Yisrael what they need now. I know you, Shlomo. They're going to fool you into giving them a concert. Don't you dare start singing until you demand that God look down on his people and give them what they need. Shalom al Yisrael.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Be well.
Thank you.
And keep strong.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was my friend, our friend, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman of the Young Israel of Passaic. And I have with me on the phone Chaim from Queens. Hello, Chaim.
Hello. I just wanted to say one thought that I'm sorry I never called up Shlomo and told him about this after hearing much of his music many years. But I had some canaries in the house here, some birds we had for a while for my kids. And these canaries used to sing along with music, good Jewish music. And certain records they sang very little with, and certainly sang a little more. As soon as I put on one of Shlomo's tapes, even a tape where he says just a story, they would sing with it. They would go wild with singing songs. And it's a natural phenomenon. I just want to say that in music, he was a chad bedara. He was a chad bedara. He was unique that all of his music really corresponded to the meaning of the words. And it's a shame that there seems right now absolutely no one to replace him.
Well, it's true. We pray that someone will rise to the occasion.
Maybe collectively, all of our people will arise in song and mitzvah. Hashem.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Yerushalayim, 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 Bnei Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Irak Kodesh. Bnei Yerushalayim, Bnei Yerushalayim Irak Kodesh. Bnei Yerushalayim, Bnei Yerushalayim. We're listening to Reb Shlomo Uvenei Yerushalayim. This was recorded live in Israel, and I have with me on the phone a very promises to be a very interesting call, Rabbi Eliezer Garner from Staten Island. Good evening, Rabbi.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay. Tell our audience a little bit about your relationship with Reb Shlomo.
Well, I'm originally met Shlomo in San Francisco during the late '60s. As you know, there was a big counterculture movement at that time, the hippies and everything, and a lot of them migrated to San Francisco. And there was a great deal of alienated Jewish youth. A great amount of alienated Jewish youth were also there in San Francisco in Haight-Ashbury. And Shlomo came at that time, and he was one of the only rabbis that appealed to the youth of that time. And he literally pulled us off the streets.
You were a hippie?
I guess you could say that, yes, at that time, yes. He literally turned us on to Judaism, to Shabbos, basically to Shabbos. We used to have a house of love and prayer that Shlomo supported, and we had hundreds of kids on a Friday night dancing and singing Shlomo's Nigunim. And my wife and I both became religious at that time through Shlomo. And I wanted to share that with everybody and the audience, that as much as Shlomo is known for his music, as not much as he's known for the Nigunim, he was a great Rebbe, a great leader for many, many youth of the 60s and the 70s. And he brought hundreds, and if not thousands, back to Yiddishkeit and left us a legacy about Judaism that we now would like to pass on to our children.
I understand you were a pallbearer today?
Yes, I was. I carried the casket of my holy Rebbe Shlomo.
Wow.
And we feel like a great light has passed on. But as my wife said tonight, and one of the most beautiful things I've heard all day, she said that maybe with the situation in Israel now, the situation in the world, that Shlomo could not continue to do as much work down here as needed to be done. And so he went to heaven. To turn on the energy there to bring us down, to turn the energy around, to bring down great blessings to the Jewish people, and to make this a better world. He needed to go to a higher level to accomplish that task.
Wow, that's quite a thought. Quite a thought.
I appreciate you doing this tribute to him tonight.
Well,
and I feel that that is a great honor to him, and nothing could be better than tonight to do this. Play his music, and I hope maybe by the Shloshim another time you will also do this.
Well, I have to tell you, I know you were a new listener to my show, but I'm starting my 18th year, and regular listeners know that Reb Shlomo Kalbach was one of my favorites, and I have played him continuously over the years and will continue as long as I have the ability and the strength to do it. He turned me on also, I have to tell you. Rabbi Garner.
Eliezer Garner.
Eliezer Garner. Thank you for calling and sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you.
Okay, shalom.
Bye.
It's 9:30, and I thank you all for your calls and your thoughts, and I'm sure that we'll do it again. I could go on for several shows, and as the Rabbi Garner mentioned, we probably should have something again. We will have something more well planned and well thought out. This is something that I just wanted to put together today, and you know, you don't know what to say or what to do when something like this happens. And just a blessing that we have this wonderful music that will live on, perhaps or hopefully forever. Well, this past week was certainly a very difficult week for all of us. Those of us who are Jews, those of us who love Israel, and those of us who love freedom and justice. I was trying to think of what could I say that's appropriate, and you know my feelings about Israel and about the situation there. We'll be playing some Chazonis in a few minutes that is appropriate, but I'd like to read an op-ed from Friday by A.M. Rosenthal, because I think it hits the nail on the head in many respects. It's called Terror and the West, and there's another sub-headline, Time to Get Off the Bus. The bus creeps along, stops an instant for a traffic signal, and disintegrates. Later, police have a difficult time separating the bits of bone, deciding which belong to the corpses of passengers and which to the people torn apart in their offices and shops on Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue. Is that what it will take? Would Americans then understand the meaning to them of what happened in Tel Aviv? Would we grasp that we are not bystanders far off, but traveling on the road to our own Dizengoff Street? Probably not. Pan Am 103 and the vaporization of 270 souls did not make us see the road or who awaited us, nor did the extermination of the 241 U.S. servicemen and 58 French paratroopers in the Beirut massacre, or the deaths of 95 Argentine Jews in Buenos Aires. Not even the bombing of the World Trade Center, the essence of American financial prestige, stirred people for more than a month or two. All these terrorist attacks and scores more were the work of Islamic extremists. Except for brief bursts of indignation, the West has shown a passivity that shames its leaders, people, and civilization. The only explanation is that the West fears confronting terrorism straight on. To do that, the West would first have to face realities that would embarrass some of its Arab allies. That could wind up costing diplomatic advantage and money. Terrorists say that their target is Israel, but if they ever reach their goal of the end of Israel, terrorism will continue. The struggle is not primarily against Israel, but the Western concepts of freedom of thought, religion, sexual equality, and political action. Islamic extremists see them as a disease and Israel as a carrier. For the terrorists, there is also a continuing enemy within Islam. All Muslims and Muslim governments that defy the laws, behavior, and restrictions of Islam as they exist in the passions of the extremists. Other religions will be openly ranked with Judaism as objects of disgust, unclean, destined for oblivion or servitude. The public practice of Christianity is already considered so vile and dangerous that it is banned in Saudi Arabia. In Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank, Hamas now burns the torch of terrorism. Yasser Arafat deplores the current killings and maybe means it politically at the moment. He tried, despite Hamas's record and after the White House lawn agreement with Israel, to get closer to Hamas. But he cannot control it or his own Palestine Liberation Organization, which is supposed to police Hamas. When independence or full autonomy comes, PLO members might very well choose Hamas over Mr. Arafat. Perhaps Hamas, which proclaims brotherhood with the PLO, will find a job for him someplace. Confronting terrorists means confronting their masters. Iran supplies the money, guns, and explosives, and Syria the haven and training grounds. Washington and Israel play down Syrian involvement in terrorism in their passion to get President Assad to sign a peace treaty. He is so contemptuous of both countries that he has never disbanded the Hamas branch in downtown Damascus, nor the nine terrorist groups bivouacked in Syria and Lebanon. What's more, financing and arming of Hamas and similar groups extends beyond the Middle East, particularly to the U.S. The Department of Justice says the FBI is getting on the job. Anti-terrorist specialists know what could be done given the will. First, the U.S. and Israel would tell Syria to close every terrorist camp and give up hope of a treaty, which it needs more than Israel. Western friends of Iran would be told, do business with them or us, not both. U.S. intelligence would release names of the collection of Mideast officials who have supplied or still are supplying terrorism with money, guns, or protection, all of them, kings and emirs included. All are entirely doable and effective once the West decides to stop the bus before it gets to Madison Avenue. Well, Rosenthal does hit the nail on the head. Can you imagine? They tried to kill many thousands right here at the World Trade Center. And it was a miracle that more were not killed. It was their intent to destroy the entire building or the two buildings and kill everyone located in the buildings at that time. It was only a miracle that they did not succeed, but let's never forget what their intent was. And yet we go blithely along, ignoring the signals that Hamas terrorists are among us. By the way, these comments are mine and not necessarily those of the staff and management of WSOU, nor are they necessarily the opinion of the faculty or the administration of Seton Hall University or of any of its components. I believe that we must focus on several key points. First, the fact that Arafat is incapable of delivering peace. The fact that Hamas is being supplied by Syria and Iran. The fact that the PLO has as its main goal and the destruction of Israel. They have never repealed the statement within their charter that calls for the destruction of Israel, and it remains patently clear to me that the PLO has as its goal the destruction of the state of Israel. We must also keep in mind the fact that Rabin and Peres are placing the safety of Israel in jeopardy by rushing ahead to, as the late Rabbi Kahane used to say, to make a pact with the devil. And incredibly, it appears that our own President Clinton is rushing to Syria to also make a pact with the devil. What should we do besides prayer? Well, I think one thing we must do is let our brethren in Israel know that we are with them and that we support them despite what Rabin and Peres are bringing upon them. There is a prayer, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, our brothers, the entire family of Israel who are delivered into distress and captivity, whether they are on sea or dry land, may the Omnipresent One have mercy on them and remove them from distress to relief, from darkness to light, from subjugation to redemption, now, speedily, and soon. And let us say Amen. Let's hear Yossel Rosenblatt with Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael.
Oh.
Yosla Rosenblatt, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. I have another young man from Borough Park. It's David. Hello, David.
Yes, hello, good evening.
Good evening. You had some experiences with Reb Shlomo?
Yeah, I was by the funeral today, and I had the chance to be by him a few times and to get to know him a bit. And the message which I want to give to all those who knew him and who are going to continue listening to his music, that his music wasn't just that when you wanted to hear a person singing nice, he went to hear. When people went to his concert, it was to feel the music and to feel the ahava and the love which he had to every Jew, and he tried to express it through the music. And I wanted to give the message that everybody wants that he should have a schus and a halias neshama, and I think the biggest halias neshama which he's going to have and the biggest schus is going to be when people who continue to sing his music, whenever you sing his music, feel the ahava and the love which he had to every Jew through his music. And by singing his music, it shouldn't be just singing a song from Shlomo, which for itself is a very nice thing, but it should be expressing the ahava which he had to Torah, which is well known, they sat and learned always, the ahava which he had for every Eid, the ahava which he had for Shabbos, the ahava which he had for Yerushalayim. Through singing these songs, if we continue to feel the ahava which he had for all these things, by singing these songs, that's going to be the biggest schus and the aliyas neshama for him. And that's gonna be the nechama for us, and when we continue singing his nigunim. And let's hope he should be a Melech Yosha for all those who had a kesher with him, and he should have a aliyas neshama. And the things which he sang about, he used to sing a lot about Yerushalayim and about Eretz Yisrael. And now we're in a matzah that we really need someone to be a Melech Yosha for these places. And let's hope that will be a big schos for him.
Amen. Thank you for your call.
Okay,
shalom. Let's hear Zachor. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us in light of what has befallen us, what is befalling us. This is Cantor Moshe Gantchoff, early recording.
Oh, yeah.
Moshe Genshoff, Zachor. David, good evening.
Good evening, Charlie.
What are your thoughts about our late Rebbe?
Shlomo Carlbach, his music really inspired me. Now, for those who were just tuning in, you know, I'm not Jewish, but I love Jewish music. And Shlomo Carlbach was one of my favorite singers. I was familiar with his music from a child. I heard him through Art Raymond. And some of my favorite compositions were Esso Einai and Adir Hu and the story of Schwarze Wolf. You know, brought tears to my eyes every time I heard it.
Yum.
And he was a man who was concerned not only about the Jewish people, but about all human beings. He didn't care who you were. I remember a couple years ago, just after the Crown Heights program, he did a concert. I think it was an evening of black and Jewish music.
Uh-huh.
And Shlomo was on the program.
Hmm. Hmm.
And between he and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think the world lost, you know, two giants. One a musical giant and the other one a philosophical giant.
Yeah, it's been quite a year.
I was stunned when I heard Nachum Segal say Friday morning that Shlomo had passed.
Yeah.
You know, it was unexpected.
Quite a shock for all of us. And in future programs, of course, I'll be playing a lot of his stories. Tonight, I just didn't have time, but I had planned to play a few of my favorites, but they will be played in the forthcoming weeks. Dave, thanks for your comments.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our last selection, which reflects the pain and the agony that we feel appropriately, is Zavel Korten with Tiher Rabbi Yishmoel. This is from the Asure Haruge Malchios. Really reflects the terror and the pain and the agony that we feel as to what's happening in Israel today.
Yehei Rabbi Shmuel Atmoy Ve'yizkir Es Hashem B'shilu Ediyem Ve'yuhulu Lamuroim Ve'yuhulu Lamuroim Visual, 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 Parigot, Jesus.
Zabel Korten with Tiher Rabbi Yishmael. And this is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that, I hate to say that you enjoyed. I hope that you found this a meaningful show, and I know it expresses the sadness and the feeling that that many of us have concerning the death of Reb Shlomo Kaulbach.
Okay, here we are back in 2015, and that was from 21 years ago. Ein chadash tachat ha-shemesh. No, there's nothing new under the sun. And those three selections, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael and Zachor and Tihir Rebbe Yishmael, are as appropriate today as they were then. The Arabs have never given up their goal of the destruction of the State of Israel. And these are sad facts, and it's very clear that, God forbid, a Palestinian state is ever formed. We know that it will just be another Arab terrorist state dedicated to the destruction of Israel. Can there be any doubt? Would you give 1 ounce of land, 1 inch of land to these terrorists? And let's say they did have a state. It certainly would be militarized. There's no way you can keep it from being demilitarized. And when they start killing Jews from a Palestinian state, and Israel responds, the whole world will jump down on Israel's throats and say that we are causing the problem. Well, what problem will there be then if they have Judea and Samaria? Well, the clear fact is we know that they see all of Israel as Palestine. And the acquiring, God forbid, of an Arab state in Judea and Samaria is just the first step in their goal to destroy the entire state of Israel and have that be part of Palestine. Of course, all of their maps show all of Israel as part of Palestine. It's so clear. I mean, they clearly show their intent, and yet we stand by idly as our brothers are in dire straits. I think the first thing they should do is to kick out the Arab members of Knesset, put them in prison for treason. They call for the destruction of the State of Israel and the killing of Jews. This is an impossible situation. And any Israeli Arab citizen that calls for the destruction of Israel, they should be deported immediately. These are some steps that should be taken immediately. You know, the only thing that ever works, unfortunately, is when Israel takes charge of the situation, and the Arabs respect strength, and when they see weakness, they jump in. Anyway, I will end the second hour with some more recordings of Karl Bach, and in future shows in the near future, I'll be featuring some of his wonderful stories. I just haven't prepared the stories for this particular program. So here we are back in 2015, 21 years ago, Reb Shlomo Kaulbach passed away. I was at the Kaulbach Shul this past Friday evening for Kabbalah Shabbos, and it's quite an experience if you have never partaken in that that experience, it's something that you should try to do. It's really a very, very special happening. Okay, let's go first of all to a Carl Bach selection. This is called Gewalt.
Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Sie scheint Zeit zu sagen, Tillem. Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Sie scheint Zeit zu sagen, Tillem. Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Nicht kein Tillem noch geschlafen, zu was steigst du auf der Welt? Mit was wirst du kommen auf jener Welt? Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Sie scheint Zeit zu gehen, da wenn eins, zwei, drei, vier. Sie scheint Zeit zu gehen, da wenn eins, zwei, drei, vier. Nicht kein Tillem, nicht kein Davnen, nicht kein Davnen, nur geschlafen, so was. Teigst du auf der Welt? Mit was wirst du kommen auf jener Welt? Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei. Sie scheint Zeit zu gehen, lernen, eins, zwei, drei, vier. Sie scheint Zeit zu gehen, lernen, eins, zwei, drei, vier. Nicht kein Tillem, nicht kein Davnen, nicht kein Davnen, nicht kein Lernen, nicht kein Lernen, nur geschlafen. Was teigst du auf der Welt? Mit was wirst du kommen auf jener Welt? Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Gewaltige Brüder, was schlaft ihr? Eins, zwei, drei. Sie scheint Zeit zu sein, jeden, eins, zwei, drei, vier. Sie scheint Zeit zu sein, jeden, eins, zwei, drei, vier. Also kein Jiederle, oh ja, so kein. Mein Sie ist Jiederle, mein Sie ist Jiederle, mein Teile Jiederle. Nur hör sich ein mit das Herz, mit das Herz, nicht Schamme. Häub nicht kein Tillem, häub nicht kein Lernen, häub nicht kein Davnen. Nicht kein Jid, genau, du bist nicht kein Jid, ist nur geschlafen. Zu was teigst du auf der Welt? Mit was wirst du kommen? With you.
Okay, this was from his third album. Came out in the early 60s, a little over 50 years ago. That was Gewalt, or Wake Up. And one more selection from that third album. This is Shivchi Kamayim. This is early Carl Bach.
Kamayim libet noichach penei Hashem. Shivchi kamayim, kamayim libet noichach penei Hashem. Shivchi kamayim, kamayim libet noichach penei Hashem. Shivchi kamayim. Kamayim libech noichach penei Hashem. Shivchi kamayim libech noichach penei Hashem. Shivchi kamayim, kamayim libech noichach penei Hashem. Shivchi kamayim.
Okay, those were from the third album, early 60s. Let's go to the 60s. This will be live from an album live at the Village Gate in the 60s. And this is Pischuli. This is Carl Bach, again, live at the Village Gate.
Pischuli Shavit Sedek, Ovo Vom Odeko. Please open the gates for me. Please open the gate. Peace, holy.
Well, as we hear Reb Shlomo Kalbach with Peace Kuli, this is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that you enjoyed these rebroadcasts from 21 years ago, commemorating wonderful Reb Shlomo Kalbach. And as I mentioned, in the near future, I will be playing some of his wonderful stories. Haven't played them for a while. Thanks for joining with me. You know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. I'm getting ready to go to Israel in a week or so, and I'll be pre-recording certain shows while I'm gone. And I encourage all of you that we should not let the enemy win by keeping us away from our wonderful land of Israel. More about that in the future. Shalom again. Thanks for joining with me.